Good morning to each of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus, the lover of my soul. I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to return that love in a life of service to him. So I was looking at your clocks. I was thinking maybe I should just call the service to an end and we go home. But I guess the time is not right. So hopefully you have patience. And I have a message for us this morning. You can turn it in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'd like to start here with a couple of verses and then take you back to the Old Testament for the majority of the message. We have Paul. He is writing a letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes this. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And we'll stop reading there. The passage goes on. The ESV for verses 3 and 4 goes like this. It says, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Have you ever tried to put yourself into the life of a combatant soldier on the battlefield, facing the enemy, and your physical life depended on your awareness, on your abilities, and who was going to be the quickest? And there's many men and women who have put their lives into great and grave danger. But I would like for us to think this morning just briefly that if you're a Christian this morning, you're also a soldier. And I don't know if somehow we can impress it upon our minds. I wish it could be impressed upon my mind. I would think being in the battlefield as a soldier, you would put everything forth into surviving that, to defeating your enemy. But how can we somehow feed that into our spiritual lives to be determined with all that we got that we're going to make it? Because really, seriously, like the battle that you and I are in today as soldiers of Jesus Christ is far more grave than a soldier on an earthly battlefield. His life may be taken, but eternity is at stake for you and I this morning. There's many choices that you and I have in life that we can make. There's only two choices of our destiny. And so I pray this morning for myself and for us all that we would be awakened to the reality of the war that we're in. There's a battle for your soul. I mean, I don't know if these words convict you at all or not, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Like, aren't we just pretty comfortable? Our Christianity is just pretty nice. We're just pretty nice people. What does it mean to be a spiritual soldier? Do I know how to conduct myself as a soldier of Jesus Christ? And I thought about that, and sometimes it's helpful for us to take a character and look at them to help us get some marks, some characteristics of what it means to be a faithful soldier. So turn back to 2 Samuel. I'd like to use a very unlikely character this morning that I believe speaks very powerfully to us today in 2025. The title for the message is Marks of a Disentangled Soldier. 2 Samuel chapter 11 is a story that I believe paints a very good picture for us of what it should look like for us to be a soldier for Jesus. Uriah the Hittite is the man we like to focus in on this morning. And Hittite can teach us something. It's not even from the children of Israel. It's not even from the people of God. But he joined himself with them. And we know this story well. David, he couldn't control his own passionately lusts, and he took Bathsheba, committed adultery with her. And we know this story very well, but I think sometimes we miss this part of that story. And it speaks very powerfully. And so I would like for us to consider this very briefly this morning. Uriah the Hittite. David had sinned this sin, and he sent to Joab in verse 6, and he says, send Uriah back home. And he had a plan. He had something he needed Uriah to do. Verse 7 and 1, Uriah was come unto him. David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite, and died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matter of the war unto the king, and if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died from Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us, and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them, even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. What a story. And what a character. Here was a soldier that's worthy of our attention. I'd like to draw 6 points from this character, Uriah, who was killed because he refused to play civilian. He refused to entangle himself with the affairs of his world. The first mark of a disentangled soldier is the soldier's speech. We see that back in verse 7. David demanded of him how Joab did, how the people did, and how the war prospered. My speech this morning, what I talk about, what I like to talk about this morning, will portray, it will show if I am entangled with the affairs of this life or if I am disentangled. What is my pet subject? What brings the lights on for me? What do I really like to talk about? What's my conversational center? What do I gravitate towards in talking? We all have that center where we tend to lean into, where it's things that we enjoy talking about and discussing. What are those things? Is it the farming and the beef prices and the grain prices? Is it the news and the politics? The latest church gossip? What do you like to talk about? Well, David knew he was talking to a soldier. He was talking to a man of war. He knew this man was interested in small chatter, in useless chatter, in idle talk. He had no time for that. His interests were it wasn't in the farming. It wasn't in the weather. He had no interest in that. He was interested in the war. And David asked him 3 questions about the war. How is Joab doing? How are the people doing? And how is the war going? Uriah, in his mind, men were dying. Arrows were flying. That was on his mind. That was in his heart. His brothers were out fighting. The enemy was scheming. That's what he was thinking about. That's what was consuming his thoughts and his minds. He didn't have time for the latest entertainments. They didn't even appeal to him. He had something much, much bigger on his mind than that. And so, this morning, what is your heart's topic of conversation? When people talk to you and they think about you, what do they know you like to talk about? What is it that characterizes your speech? Is it things that really matter? Relationships, your marriage, your children, your church family, your neighbors, Jesus, the Word of God? Like, what is it that characterizes your center, where you tend to gravitate towards? This will mark you as to whether or not you're entangled with the affairs of this life or whether you're disentangled. Number two is the soldier's silence. We see that in verses 8 and 9. David tells Uriah to go home. Did Uriah talk to King David? Did he try to argue with him? Did he try to tell King David how committed he was to the cause? And King David, your idea is so pathetic. Like, this is ridiculous. You want me to go home? He didn't say a word. was silent. He turned. He walked out. As soon as he thought David couldn't see him, he lay down. There he was. And David tells Uriah, go home, take a shower, prop your feet up. And he sends this huge present. It's a large mess of meat, the best food in the world, the ribeye steaks and the New York strips and all this good food and good wine. Just go home, chocolate-covered strawberries, just anything to, like, just relax him, just get him into the mood. Like, just go home. Here is King David. He's the highest in rank. And he's likely the one that even enlisted this soldier. And he's telling this soldier to go home. Take it easy. Prop your feet up. Take off your armor. Uriah says not a word to him. He walks out quietly. His silence is screaming of his character and of his strength. He doesn't need words to back him up on this one. And so I asked this morning myself and you all, what do your actions speak of? Do they speak of a soldier who is entangled or one that is disentangled? What about your actions when nobody is with you, when no one can see you? What do your actions speak of? Do they speak of your strength and of your character? Or do they speak about other things than that? Number three is the soldier of speculation. We have this in verse 10. And when they had told David, saying, these servants were talking. Can't you just imagine them that night, like as Uriah came out and he laid down there with them, like they're whispering about this man, like, what's up with him? Why doesn't he go home? I had a wife, I'd go home to her. Isn't he weird? Can't you imagine the chatter and the whispering in the morning that I go to King David? It's like, hey, you know what? He didn't go home. He slept with us. Well, a true soldier is the talk of the servants. There's rumors that are being talked about him. His single-mindedness and his commitment to denying himself showed that he was a true soldier. He was really a man of war. And to the servants, he looked a lot different than them. That's not how they lived their life. They wanted to please themselves, but not this man. You think King David admired this man's resolve and commitment to be a soldier? You think David was impressed with this? I don't think he was. I think he was frustrated. Like, what is up with this man? Like, I've done all this and he doesn't fall into my trap. How can this be? Even David couldn't resist the walk across the street for this man's wife. But this man is home and he won't go home. What's up with him? How can this be? Well, do others talk and whisper about you? Do they speculate about you? Surmise about you? They seem confused about you. I felt that way this past week. I mean, Friday was a holiday, right? Did y'all celebrate it? Halloween. And every year, customers will ask me, you have a family? Yeah, I have a family. Children that are young? Yeah, I have 5 children. They're 1 to 12. And they, what for costumes do they have? Like trick or treat, like don't, and it's, no, you don't celebrate at all. Like lighten up a little bit. They're just having fun. It's innocent. And I'm standing there beside the skeleton in somebody's kitchen. It doesn't look innocent at all. It looks dark. Well, it's good opportunities to talk to people about Jesus. And about the darkness that they're inviting into their lives. Or the other thing I bump into pretty often is is men like to make unkind comments about their wives. And I just loved it. It's like, I got the best wife in the world. Like, I just love my wife. Oh, really? Like, that's shocking. But yeah, it's true. Or they ask about my family. You have children? Yeah, I have children. Five children. I'm like, whew, five children. That's a huge family. You'll be broke all your life. I'm like, well, maybe I will be. It's not a large family. It depends on what you compare it to. Yeah, I love my family. Look, we ought to be different. And we shouldn't be ashamed about it. It's okay to be a little different. It's okay. We should be. There should be some speculation about us, who we are, why we're different. What's up with this person? He's unique in some ways. Why is it? What is it about him? We should be the talk of some people, of our neighbors. And that's okay. Number four is the soldier's self-denial. See in verse 11. Uriah tells David, he says, look, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. He tells David why he's avoiding to go home. He said, I can't go home. He said, God, the ark, my brothers, my captain, they're out in the open fields. Eating arrows, dodging spears. And I should I be going home and taking it easy and eating the best food and just enjoying myself and my wife? God forbid that I should do that. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. Even things that were lawful for him to do, he denied himself. Because he's a soldier. He's a man of war. Even King David, that second day, he brought him in there and made him eat and drink. He made him drunk. Like, this is a man of after God's own heart, and he's trying to make somebody's brain not function properly so he goes home with his wife to cover up his own sin. Like, this is terrible. But even this man's commitment, even when he was drunk, it still won the day. Still won the day, and he went out, and he didn't go home. He slept with the servants. What a commitment. What a self-denying man this was. He was committed to the duty that was calling him. When's the last time that I lay down, that you lay down your own agenda and your own pursuits because you were sympathetic towards your wife, towards your children, towards your neighbor, towards your church brother or sister? When was the last time you did that? Denied yourself. Something that was even lawful for you to enjoy and to do, but you denied it because there was a need. There was something in front of you that needed you to take care of, and you're going to do it. Have you ever felt the desire to be just really useful to your captain? To be a faithful soldier? How are you doing in your self-denial? Number five is the soldier's faithfulness. This soldier, he knew how to be faithful under command. Verses 14 and 15. David wrote a letter to Joab, sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying that put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle. And then all he uses back away from him, let him get killed. Doesn't that just make you feel angry? It makes me feel angry. King David, really? You did this. Well, we're a lot like King David, sadly. But here is one of the most honorable men. And he's clinging so hard to his resolve. Nothing can stop him. Nothing can break him. Nothing can make him give in. He won't. He's not a quitter. He's determined. His resolve. Stuck to it. So David writes an assassination letter. And he sends it in the hand of the man that he wants to kill. Like, did David trust this man to carry his own death warrant? Could I be trusted to do that? Could you be trusted to do that? You think Uriah wondered what was in that sealed document? Bet he did. He said, something strange with this. It's not, doesn't seem right. You think he like held up the light, sun, was like, try to read the words coming through it? You think he did that? I don't think he did. David was convinced that this man was a faithful man. He was a man of integrity. He knew he could trust him to carry that letter from him to Joab, and it would never be opened, never be looked at, never. He was faithful to command. What a tragic thing. What an evil thing for a man of God to even think up. But really, Uriah's faithfulness to command, his faithfulness to obedience, I think is very startling to us in 2025. It's a bright light for us. It really is. Today, as soldiers, we can struggle with authority and obedience. But true soldiers obey commands. Faithfully. It can be depended upon to do it. Would-be soldiers, they like only suggestions. They don't like commands. Faithful soldiers, their desire, their aim is to please the one who's enlisted them. That's their motivating factor. Would-be soldiers, they look to see how they can please themselves. And so this morning, do I acknowledge men that are over me? My father? Do I acknowledge my parents? Those who are over me? Have I learned to follow? Have I learned to obey? Have I learned faithful obedience? Could I be trusted to carry my own death sentence? And number six is the soldier's scars. The soldier's scars. We see that in verse 16, 17. Uriah was signed unto the place where the valiant men were, and he died, was killed. Soldiers bear the marks of active duty on their bodies, or like Uriah, in their grave. I recently worked for a woman who served in the armed forces, and she lost part of her foot. And she has a mark on her body for the rest of her life of being a soldier. She'll have scars. Uriah had marks on his body in his grave. Uriah never made it home, back to his front door, back to his lovely wife. He never made it home again. Never made it back. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 9, it says that David killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. David was a murderer. Joab pressed Uriah in close to the walls of the city where the archers were standing, where he knew he was going to get killed. You think Uriah knew the danger of his mission? Do you think he knew what he was up against? I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. But it didn't stop him. He went in there. And that this morning is what separates an entangled soldier from a disentangled soldier. Disentangled soldiers will choose suffering. And that's what separates soldiers from civilians. Moses, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Uriah, what a loyal soldier to just a treacherous, scheming king. What a committed soldier. Even Captain Joab he went along with his nonsense, and he's now corrupted too. This man could have been at home with his wife eating the best food in the world, but instead he died with an arrow to his heart. Well, dear ones, this morning, thank God that your army captain, he knows nothing of such treachery and wickedness. Do I hope to offer to the Lord a civilian life that has cost me little to nothing? Am I willing to do anything for my army captain? Some days it's just as simple, actually it's not real simple, but just getting rid of my own selfishness in order that I can assist my wife and my children. Will you carry scars on your body because you are a faithful soldier of the Most High God? These are six marks that can help us check our lives to see if we are entangled or if we're disentangled from the affairs of this world. All soldiers that are Christian this morning that make it through to the end, there's a salvation that awaits us, a full and a final salvation. Uriah, he died fighting under God for God's people. I expect to see him if I make it faithful to the end in heaven. He was a faithful soldier. Paul suffered fighting under God for the sake of Christ's people. Paul calls Timothy to suffer and endure hardness as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. And those words come to you and I today as well. To suffer hardness for Jesus. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a couple of verses there. Yet, verse 8 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Jesus this morning, your army captain, he's not scheming to figure out how he can cover his own sin and his own treachery. He's not looking to put his soldiers to death to cover for his own misdeeds. That's not who our army captain is this morning. He's perfect. Jesus, our captain, he came to this life as a man. And he faced temptations at all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He's perfect. He's holy. He died for me. He died for you. So we can experience salvation. He's risen from the dead. And he is alive forevermore. Never to die. Jesus does not steal his bride by another man's blood. He purchases it. He purchases his bride with his own blood. That's your army captain this morning, dear ones. He's died. He shed his blood for you. He's a faithful captain. He's not like King David in his weak moment here. Your captain will be true and faithful to the end. And we've got a glorious end. A glorious end. Eternal glory. Reigning with Jesus. Living. Living forever. With our captain. But we got a job to do today. We got work to do today. Soldiers are going to rise up to the duties that press in on you. Are you going to be a faithful soldier for Jesus today? Or will you be lulled to sleep with all that this world wants to offer us? The world's going to make you look like you're losing. You're going to be the loser. But look, if you're a faithful soldier of Jesus, you're not going to be ever a loser. You're going to gain everything. So may God help us all to rise up to the task. Follow him. Be committed to him as a soldier for Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.